Congressional and White House leaders are meeting at the White House this afternoon to talk about ending the 14-day government shutdown that's hinging on funding for President Trump's border wall. Last night, newly elected House Speaker Nancy Pelosi said this.
We're not doing a wall. Does anybody have any doubt that we're not doing a wall?
And on Fox News, Vice President Mike Pence said this.
Okay, so that sounds like a stalemate, but rank-and-file lawmakers from both parties are now pressuring their leaders to end the partial shutdown that's entering its third week. Let's bring in Rick Klein. He's political director of ABC News. Rick, how you doing?
Hey, great to be with you.
Good to have you. Late last night, in one of their first acts in power in the House, Democrats passed bills to reopen the government that President Trump, frankly, is not going to sign and that the Senate likely is not going to be taking up either. Tell me if I'm wrong here, but it doesn't look like lawmakers are anywhere near a breakthrough yet.
That's exactly right. And there's no way to see a light at this end of this tunnel because both sides seem so stubborn right now. They feel justified in what they're doing because they feel like this is what President Trump feels like. This is what voters wanted when they elected him in the first place. And Democrats feel like, hey, we just won the majority because of our opposition to President Trump. We're not going to suddenly capitulate. So no one is in a mood to cave. And it's complicated by a whole mess of personality conflicts, semantic arguments about what constitutes a wall, and a fundamental disagreement that doesn't appear close to being solved.
But what about cracks? What about pressure? Yesterday, Colorado Senator Cory Gardner, the first Republican to break with his party, he's calling for the end of a shutdown, whether or not the president's wall is funded. You also have similar words coming from Maine's Susan Collins. They're both vulnerable in their elections that are coming up next year. How much pressure does that put on the Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell, who seems to be just sort of hiding in the wings here?
That matters, but don't underestimate Mitch McConnell's ability to operate around Washington and to accommodate this president. He recognizes he's up for his own reelection, and he recognizes that supporting the president is probably the best thing for him in Kentucky and still the will of most of his members. So I'm not discounting it, and I think counting the noses of Republicans who aren't comfortable about going all the way down and shutting the government down for an extended period of time just over the border wall, that's an important exercise, but I think the pressure is going to have to grow significantly for Mitch McConnell, for any of the Republicans, or certainly for President Trump to cave.
And how about Nancy Pelosi, the pressure on her? CNN this morning, Illinois Democrat Sherry Bustos said that Democrats could make some concessions, agreeing to funding a partial wall. Here she is.
We can have a starting point that we go in there and we say, this is ideally what we would like to see happen. But in the end, we might have to give or take a little bit.
And here we have Vice President Mike Pence, who was on Fox News last night on whether a so-called DACA deal for young immigrants who are brought to this country illegally as children is one of the negotiating chips on the table today.
There's a lot of people talking about a lot of different ideas. You know, frankly, the better part of a year ago, the president expressed a willingness to deal with the issue of dreamers in a compassionate way, for people who were brought here as children through no fault of their own. He's discussed that. It's being talked about.
Rick, is it being talked about today in this meeting?
I think the idea that the White House is putting additional items on the table suggests that there's a possible path to a compromise here. That is an area that the Democrats want to compromise on. They view the wall as a totally separate situation than the dreamers, the DACA children and young adults who they believe deserve legal status regardless of the wall, which they believe is a bad idea. But it does show you the contours of compromise. And I do think this could come down to a compromise that both sides can describe differently. The Democrats saying they're supporting border security, the president saying we started the wall. I had one Republican more than a year ago say to me, you know, it almost doesn't matter what we do. He's going to say it's a wall anyway. Mm-hmm. And I think that that sense probably permeates all of the conversations that are going on right now.
Why not do DACA? That is an issue that Democrats for many, many years have been trying to take care of. Frankly, if this is an opportunity to do that, why not?
They don't think it's an even trade. They don't think it should be a trade. They think the DACA kids should be taken care of separately. The president has even expressed an openness to that. They don't think that's worth trading an item of principle on the border wall, which, again, Nancy Pelosi is among those saying this isn't just a structure or a border security strategy. It is a statement that you make to the world. So they would love to do DACA and take care of the dreamers and permanently legalize their status and get done what they've been trying to do for years, even under President Obama. But they don't see that as an even trade.
That's Rick Klein. We're going to bring into the conversation now Jesse Holland, race and ethnicity reporter for the Associated Press. I want you to talk first about the diversity issue right now in Congress. Nancy Pelosi took over at the Speaker's gavel. A historic number of diverse leaders in Congress, more than 100 women lawmakers. I wonder what you think about how that may have a bearing on what Congress does this session.
Yeah, it's one of those great things where you see this whole new wave of diversity coming into Congress. And it's not just on the elected level as well. There are many people in the House Democratic Caucus who are pushing for more diversity on the staff level. So we're seeing a lot of change, and actually we're seeing a lot of youth coming into the Congress as well. So that will make it a little harder for Speaker Pelosi because, you know, as the younger members come in, they are not in the mood to compromise either. They say they were brought to Washington to change things. So that will make it actually a little bit harder for Speaker Pelosi to come up with these compromises she needs when dealing with the White House and the Senate.
Well, Jesse, what about one of those new members, Rashida Tlaib of Michigan, hours after being sworn in, found herself in some hot water for cursing out Trump as she told supporters about a conversation that she had with her young son. We're going to play that tape, but just a warning that there is some explicit language in it.
Bullies don't win. And no. I said, baby, they don't, because we're going to go in there. We're going to impeach the
Okay, so her supporters loved it, but party leaders like Jerry Nadler of New York condemned the language, said it's far too early to talk about impeachment. Republicans blasted Nancy Pelosi for not calling her out. How dangerous is this kind of talk for Democrats, and how much of a demonstration is this, the difficult situation that Nancy Pelosi is in, to balance the feelings of some of these new members?
Right. Well, once again, a lot of these younger members like her, they ran on this type of stuff. They ran on fighting back against Donald Trump. So I know the words she used were controversial, but like you said, you heard of the cheering right behind it. That's what these new young members of the Democratic Party, this is what they want. They want to their leaders to say that we're going to fight Donald Trump. And frankly, a lot of them want to see the president impeached. So while it might make it difficult to negotiate with the White House, it makes it difficult on the leadership level. But on the ground level for these new members of the House, this is the red meat that their constituents wanted. And this is what they voted them in to get.
But Rick, do moderate Republicans across the rest of the country want that?
No, I mean, I think it's clear that there's a middle of the country that is not going to be represented right now. There was a moment a couple weeks ago where it looked like cooler heads were prevailing, and it looked like we were going to avoid the shutdown and calm things down for the start of the new Congress. And we're seeing, I think, more extreme voices on both sides, frankly, start to take over the conversation. And it is a real risk for Democrats as they take over the majority. It isn't necessarily the message they want to be conveying. I think Jesse's right. A lot of these Democrats who are saying inflammatory things right now, they don't think there's anything to apologize about. That's what brought them to the dance. That's what they think they were elected to do. It's a different dynamic. It isn't necessarily a productive dynamic for governing, but man, this Congress looks and acts and feels different than anyone that's come before.
Before we have to go, I want to talk about the economy a bit. There was a tweet this morning from the president where he blamed another week of stock market fluctuations on Democrats taking power in Congress. He also said that he saw some good job numbers today with the 312,000 jobs added last month, though the unemployment rate rose slightly to 3.9%. If you can tell us, Jesse, and then Rick, is the economy really his main concern right now, and should it be?
Well, it's one of those amazing things where you have this booming economy, but no one's talking about it. You have that great job those great job numbers. You have a fluctuating stock market, but with all of the other crazy things going on in Washington, this should be something that Republicans are touting up front. Mm-hmm. But we're not talking about that. We're talking about walls. We're talking about China trade pacts. We're talking about all these other things. Republicans, this should be their time to talk about the economy, but we're not hearing it.
And Rick, what do you say?
I think the economy is a major problem area, a blaring series of signals for Republicans going into the 2020 election cycle. They recognize that the economy, while it's doing well, hasn't delivered on all of the promise of the tax cut. The gyrations in the stock market are problematic. And the concern on Wall Street and Main Street about the trade wars and about the president's sometimes erratic behavior, they are real and they overhang everything that the Republicans hope to accomplish.
Okay, we have just about a minute left, but we should talk about 2020. because why not? On CNN, Bernie Sanders apologized to women who claimed they were sexually harassed by staff on his 2016 presidential campaign. This was a big issue for him, it looks like. Does it do serious harm to his 2020 bid, Jesse?
Well, I think this is something that all of the politicians will be going through as we set up for the 2020 election. I don't think this ends or hurts Bernie Sanders. In fact, it might be good for him to get this out the way now because we won't be thinking about it in months to come. But we'll see. I think we're going to see a lot of this as the 2020 race heats up.
All right. Well, we got a little bit of 2020 in there. I'm sure we'll have more opportunities to do more later. That's Jesse Holland, who is race and ethnicity reporter for the Associated Press. And we've also got Rick Klein, political director of ABC News. Gentlemen, both of you, thanks as always.
Thank you.
Thank you.